So, what are we doing here? Oh yeah, it's my turn. Oh no. Oh shoot, you know what? I forgot something that I need right now. Oh, I feel so embarrassed. No. It's church, come on. No, really, I forgot something really important. Would you guys just stay here if I just run for a minute and grab what I need? Don't, really, seriously, don't go anywhere, okay? You promise? All right. Hold on. Oh, man.
Oh man, I tell you what, I'm a little bit frazzled right now. I made a huge mistake. I am usually always super prepared for these kind of things, for our services and what we do on the weekends, but I just completely dropped the ball on something, and I am so embarrassed. I mean, you're probably sitting there right now wondering what in the world is going on, and so I apologize. I promise you this will all make more sense in just a second. I guess while we're waiting to get to where I need to go, I can tell you that we are in now our fifth weekend of our series, Desperate Households. And we have, we've been talking about how we all have the tendency to hide behind the white picket fence. And, you know, for a lot of us, that white picket fence represents, I guess, a lot of different things. For some of us, it might represent material possessions. You know, if I could just have the perfect car, the perfect house, you know, then everyone will think I got it all worked out. My life's really great. Or, man, if I could just look happy all the time or smile enough or whatever. And so we've been discovering that things are not always as they seem behind that white picket fence. And so we're going to continue our series today. And in just a moment, when I get back to the church, again, I promise this will all make more sense. So just hang tight with me there, and I'll be right back. All right, we're here now. We're here. Oh, man. I need your guys' help with something. Can one of you guys come with me right now, real fast?
We got a lot to do. We're kind of working.
Okay.
You know how mad people get when they don't get their coffee?
Don't worry about them. Come on, seriously, just real quick. Can I borrow you? I need your help, real fast.
I don't even know you.
It's okay. You're okay. Come on, just.
Is this okay? I don't know.
Hold on. Frappuccino.
Frappuccino.
Perfect.
We deserve some kind of award for that.
I think so.
Is everyone still here? Okay, cool.
Great.
All right. Jill, meet the orchard.
Hi, guys.
Meet Jill. Thank you. If you get in any trouble for this, I'll make a call over to Howard Schultz,
That's
CEO
okay.
of Starbucks.
Yes, no problem.
Anyway, hey,
I doesn't know who I am.
What's that? He doesn't know who you are?
No.
Well, after today, he will.
That's right.
Gosh, well, you know what? Jill, I needed to bring you here today because I need your help. As you see, we've got some stuff here. And you all know that I definitely am a Starbucks guy, right? You know, I love Starbucks. Definitely one of my daily visits. And I was thinking this past week that I am at Starbucks so much. And, you know, I order my drink and I watch them make the drink. And I was thinking, you know what? I could probably work there just like that. Seriously, I bet you I could even be a manager at Starbucks.
A manager?
I think so. Absolutely. I could. And so what I thought we would do today, because, you know, pastoral work's kind of tough. People don't realize it. Oh, you only work on Sundays. Huh? They don't know.
Maybe
you don't think
Saturday,
that,
too.
That's right. And Saturday. It's usually 2 days a week. That's
two
a lot
days.
Of work. But anyway, so I was thinking we would make some Frappuccinos here. How many of you like Frappuccinos? Any Frappuccino fans? Okay, so this is what my thought is. You and I, we go head-to-head, and we make Frappuccinos. And you've got your pre-mixed blend, and I got, like, the real stuff here. And I thought we would have a little taste test. And so my thought is this. If I win, if people think that my Frappuccino tastes better than yours,
We'll switch.
You pastor the church, I'm at Starbucks. What do you guys think? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We've got all of our ingredients. Oh, you got to
need something.
Check this out. Sweet.
I don't know how you're going to do, so.
Look at this.
Keep it clean, you
this
know?
Is good. All right, hon, is that looking pretty natural on me or what? Okay. Okay,
great
so.
Great with your eyes.
Let me, what'd you say?
It's great with your eyes.
Thank you. You know. Stop, my wife's right back there. No, I'm just kidding. Okay,
hold
on a minute. Let me get my glasses on. Okay, so we're going to make Frappuccinos, and I've got my ingredients, and you've got yours. So you need to kind of help me, though. At least tell me what goes in,
right.
And we will both make we'll make Frappuccinos. So let's
do it.
Okay,
we're going to have to do this from scratch.
Scratch is good.
I got some water.
Okay, we got water. I got water right
water,
here.
Water, no problem.
Okay, what do you got? What's in there?
This is coffee.
Coffee.
You got to flavor it somehow, so we're actually going to use coffee.
What kind of coffee is that?
I got some Italian roast here.
Well, you know what? I got my own coffee right here.
That's fine.
Mine looks a little different than yours, but
okay.
That's cool. All right, so what are we going to do?
You have quite a bit there, so don't use it all.
No, I won't. I won't use
okay.
it all. I like them strong, though. Strong Frappuccinos.
Yes.
Okay, ready?
All right.
What do we do? Just dump it right in the
just
water?
Just dump it right in the water.
Okay, I won't use it.
Okay.
Okay, now what? We're going to
whisk
it up?
You know.
Okay.
Get it all mixed in.
We need some whisking music right here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna stir it up, and for some reason, yours is looking
that's because you put
smooth.
A lot in there.
Okay. All right,
okay.
So we got the coffee. Now what do we do?
We want our milk and sugar base.
Milk and sugar base. What
yeah.
do you mean base? Forget the base. I got milk
well,
and sugar right here.
Well, that's what it is.
Okay, it's made up of milk and sugar?
Base
okay,
is
so we got milk and sugar.
Word,
I got that.
You know?
What do we do?
Yeah. Milk and sugar.
Milk
don't
and sugar.
Overdo it.
Okay.
We're going to add some caramel.
Whoa.
Come on now.
Okay, milk. Now I'm going to go ahead and put milk in here.
That's true. To the, you know,
look
to the
that.
Top. Whatever you're comfortable with. That's why you got the apron. It's okay.
Okay, all right, that's right.
Whisk it up.
Okay, whisk it up. Whisk it up, baby, now. Whisk it up, baby. Okay, we're whisking. Mine looks a little different than yours.
And,
but that's okay. Okay.
All right.
Now what?
Now we're going to make our drink. That's the base.
Right.
That's it. You got your own cup?
Do I have a cup?
Yeah?
Okay, I have a cup. Okay, with a dome. Okay.
Yes.
Are we going to make two, like, just to share the wealth here, or what?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
let's
so what are we doing?
Do
you're going to pour it in the cup?
Yeah, pour it in the cup, you know?
Okay.
And we're
somebody
gonna
just hold
some
this for me?
To it.
I'm just kidding. All right. Now, that's some coffee right there. That's some Turkish blend. All right. Did you pour it in there?
Yes. You could probably just add a half cup next time.
Okay.
Just half.
All right. Okay, now what?
Let's do ice.
Ice? Okay, all right. Now, what kind of Frappuccinos are we making? Because I know there's, like, all kinds
of... I think we're going to go with caramel. It's pretty well known.
Oh, cool, I got caramel. I'll just go with some.
But I got some syrup, and you can borrow mine.
No, I don't need yours.
Someone has to drink
cool.
this.
I got caramel right here. Oh, is this what you use on the top?
Yeah, that's what you use on the top.
That's okay. It's natural caramel. Some people like non... Okay, anyway. Let me get some ice here.
Here you go.
Okay, now I'm just going to pour this in here?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little more.
Okay,
though.
Yeah, give me some
that'll
more.
That'll be out of control.
Bring on the ice.
I think that'll be good.
Okay. Is that
okay.
it?
Yeah, we're going to do okay. 2 pumps in each.
2 pumps?
Yeah.
Okay,
don't,
cool.
Don't go overboard.
Let's see if I can do it from here, you think?
Maybe.
Oh. Okay.
Terry's going to kill you.
Sorry, Wally. Okay, I got 2 pumps.
Okay.
Okay, now what?
We're set. We're going to blend it up.
We're going to blend it up. Okay, guys. Let's blend.
Let's blend.
Okay.
Anyone. The one on the right, the high one.
Huh? Shake it up.
Yeah, takes a little bit of work.
Takes a little bit?
A little bit.
Bet you didn't think you were going to see this at the orchard today, huh? If your friends missed it, you can text message them right now and make them feel bad for not being here. Okay, are we done?
Almost.
I think mine's done.
Gotta be quality.
Huh?
Gotta be quality.
How do you shut it off?
That's okay. A great question.
Oh, this is nice. This is nice. Oh, baby.
I think.
Okay.
We're set.
You know what? I need a little bit more caramel, though. Seriously.
Oh, man.
Mine's definitely, it's not. Hold on.
You make your own choices.
It's
oh,
not,
my goodness.
I'll just do this, though, because we don't need to wait.
All right.
Okay, now what? We're gonna
compare.
Okay, guys. We need. Look at that. That's beautiful. Oh, wait. Wait, do we want to do two?
Yeah, Let's do two.
Wait, where's my other cup?
I don't know.
I'll just use this one. This only had some serious...
Yeah, I used the one I poured into. Whoa. Don't worry. That's correct.
Okay, now, we got those cool lids.
We want whipped cream.
We do. I got whipped cream right here.
Yeah.
Remember the movie Cocktail? He was like, ooh, ooh. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Now, we need some audience participation here.
I think I need to borrow your caramel.
Oh, I didn't put caramel on mine.
Oh,
hold on.
Mine's hiding over there. I want some
you
caramel.
You want what?
But it's on the other side.
Oh,
here.
Okay. You can go get it. All right, mm-hmm. Here, take that one. Oh, you're supposed to catch it.
I did.
Okay. Ooh, this one's better. What's the difference? Is yours special?
Starbucks special blend.
Oh, Starbucks special blend. All right. Okay, we got 2 Frappuccinos. Okay. Who looks like they need... Who's sleeping?
I'm here in this volunteer, right here.
Who, where?
Right in the blue sweater.
Okay.
You get to try
who
both
else?
Of them.
All right, cool. Come on. Just come up here for a minute. Man, my hands are sticky now. Do you have straws? Okay, here's straws. Okay, wait. Don't give it to her yet.
Okay.
Because we are going to play Who's Frappuccino's Better game. Okay, put them... Here, give me one of each.
Okay.
Or give me the one with the lid. Okay. No, this one. I got it. Okay. Now, wait.
Okay,
now you take
okay.
the other one. Take the lid off because we're going to know which one's yours.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to switch it up. And you're going to taste them and you're going to guess which one's mine. Okay? Ready? Go ahead.
Aren't his eyes supposed to be closed?
No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter? Okay. You want to pick a hand? Pick a hand. Keep your eyes closed. Okay.
You're taking 2 sips. That must be pretty good. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
you
know.
Make her close
right,
her
go
eyes.
Ahead. Go ahead, ready? Go. I did, because she would know. Which one is that?
Okay.
Try the other
That's
one.
That's yours.
You try the other
Which
one.
One do you think this was?
What do you think
okay,
that
taste
one?
The other one.
Here.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, here, I'll let you keep
my.
This one.
My toes are alive.
Woo! Can you say hallelujah? Woo!
You can keep a good one if you want. Go for it.
Keep a good one?
Yeah,
dude.
You're out of luck, man.
Now, what's this one?
Those are both yours. Why don't you try that?
Oh, yeah, you guys. That's wrong. That is wrong. Jill?
So I'm going to keep my job, and you're going to keep yours.
You guys are stuck with me, I guess. I'm sorry. Okay, now. Anybody have any wipes in their purse or anything? now,
this,
Jill,
this is wet right there.
Oh, is it wet? Okay, cool. Jill, I got to ask a question here.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, we used pretty...
I'm dumping it.
Okay. We used... my throat's a little dry. I'm just going to... No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, essentially we used pretty similar ingredients. I mean, like you said, okay, you said this has Frappuccino beverage mix, which has milk ingredients, high fructose corn syrup. I like that.
I think
that.
It might be illegal
sugar.
To read that.
Yeah, okay. No one will ever go to Starbucks again if they read this. No, I'm just kidding. But I got to ask you, why, if I was using similar ingredients, why did yours turn out better than mine? I don't get it.
You know, I think that the ingredients are so similar. They're obviously almost the same thing. But someone in Starbucks sat down and they designed and created this special blend that was just right.
It's
and
like even a perfect, those perfect ingredients.
Just perfect ingredients. Even those were just close. Obviously a very different outcome.
Interesting. So you're saying that in order for a Frappuccino to turn out great, you've got to have, not only do you have to have certified perfect ingredients, but you have to have the right amount, right? I mean, like, I apparently didn't quite do too well.
Not quite.
Jill, thank you. You guys, let's give Jill a big hand clap this morning. Jill, I just thinking maybe you should get back to work now. Cause,
you know what? I am.
All right. Well, you know what?
I'm going to take the perishables, though.
All right. You can leave that caramel syrup. I kind of dig that. You're going
to
take it? That's
take
cool.
That.
All right. Say hi to the gang over there. Let's give her one big more round of applause. I just need to take a drink of water. Wow. You know, there's nothing quite like a well-blended beverage, especially a Frappuccino. There's nothing like a well-blended beverage. And, you know, I was thinking that there's also nothing quite like a well-blended family. That's right, blended families. That's a term, you know, that we hear more and more all the time. And, of course, there's all sorts of combinations of the blended family. You know, of course, you might have one family where, you know, it might be a combination of a widow with children and a divorcee that come together and form a blended family. Another family might be a man in his first marriage married to a divorcee with children. Some children live with their biological parents and only visiting them on the weekends or something like that. And, I mean, other children are already grown up. And they're on their own and still make up a blended family. The truth is, there are all types of blended families. In fact, the Bible even is full of blended families. That's right, the Bible talks about families that are blended. There was one guy in the Bible, and his name was Jacob. I think Jacob understood the challenges created by a blended family. In fact, if you get time, sometime maybe today or tomorrow, sit down and read Genesis chapter 35 and read like Genesis 35 to 38. And you're going to find here's a guy who had four wives. Okay, two of them were sisters. There were 12 sons. There was a father-in-law. And on top of all of that, they lived in like adjoining tents. Do you think they had problems? I mean, seriously, read it sometime. It's an interesting story. Look, let me just say this about the Bible, because the Bible is just such a great book. You don't have to watch very many movies or watch very many soap operas, man. You talk about exciting stuff, open the Bible. Man, there are some crazy stories. I mean, intrigue, you know, espionage, murder. I mean, it goes on. And that's one of the reasons I love the Bible. See, God doesn't try to protect everything and everyone and say, you know, he doesn't say, well, you know, you better not show them your mistakes or your shortcomings or your failures. No way, man. He puts it all right there for us to read and learn from. That's how good God is. There's also several other examples in the Bible of blended families where good things happened. In fact, there was one guy in the Bible, his name was Eli. Everyone say Eli. You ever heard of Eli's cheesecake? No connection whatsoever. Anyway, Eli had two sons who were just absolutely nuts. They were. I mean, their names, okay. And if you have a child named one of these, I apologize in advance. One of his sons were named Hophni. The other was Phinehas. And these guys, and I don't know if you know this, but Eli was a preacher. That makes those two boys preacher's sons. And you know about preacher's kids, don't you? Oh, yeah. They're crazy. But these kids were over the edge. I mean, it was a mess. But God ended up giving him a second chance, and he gave Eli another son named Samuel to raise. And the story basically goes that he did a much better job, his second time around, did a much better job raising this son. So see, this whole blended family thing really isn't anything new. It's been around a long time. In fact, just out of curiosity, because in our first service we had I was really blown away, but I'm just curious, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want, but I'm just curious how many of you have either come from a blended family background or you are currently in a blended family. Could I just see your hands? Just hold them up for a second. Wow, look at this. That's a lot of you guys. I think they deserve a hand clap because, man, blended families are challenging. I mean, non-blended families are challenging, but blended families, man, whew, they are challenging. And of course, every blended family is very unique, very diverse. But you know, whatever is behind that blend, the fact is blended families have a set of unique challenges that can literally make or break their households. Because here's the deal. In fact, you might remember at the very beginning of our series, we looked at a warning that comes to us in the scriptures. It's a warning that comes from a writing by a guy named Peter who is writing to a group of Christ followers. And he gives this warning, and the warning says this. Look at the screens, 1 Peter 5:8. He says, "Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour." And then he says this in verse 9, "Take a firm stand against him and be what? Be strong in your faith." And I know that sometimes we hear scriptures like this and we go, "Come on, Scott. You mean to tell me there's really a devil? I mean, there's really this devil that is interested in messing with me?" No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. That's what God says. God says, look, there is a evil force that exists in this world that would love nothing more than to lead you and I down a path that is going the opposite direction of God. And this warning that we've been given, this warning that we looked at just a second ago from Peter, tells us that the enemy of our lives, that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. And he is looking for marriages to devour. Man, he is looking for children and teenagers' lives to devour. And he is looking for families. And guess what? He would love to take a blended family that has the potential to form something powerful and something life-changing. And he would love to throw in his poisonous ingredients into that blender and really create a mess. That's right. He would love to bring in his poisonous ingredients. You know, things like favoritism, things like division. Or how about some that are a little more subtle? Because see here, listen, if we're honest about it, a blended family unit can be a tremendous breeding ground for things like jealousy and envy, complications and mistakes and hurt feelings. And I could go on and on with all the ways that we tend to open up our lives and are the doors of our lives to the enemy to come in and wreak some serious havoc in our blended families. And so we have to be aware. The Bible says be aware, be on the lookout, make the right kind of choices in your life. And just like that tasty Frappuccino that I still have pieces of coffee in my mouth, if you put God's perfect ingredients into the blender, if you allow God to pour in his carefully measured, perfect ingredients into that blender, into that blended family, And the results will be a beautiful blend, and one that reflects the goodness and the faithfulness of God. That's what He wants to do. So we have to make sure that we're using the right ingredients. We have to make sure that we're not trying to put in something that might look like the right ingredient, but that really isn't. So today I want to spend a few minutes, and I want to give you four ingredients that I think will really help our families blend together well. And if you have your bulletin, you can take that out, and I'm going to give you some stuff to write down. If you don't have a pen, just go in your neighbor's purse and dig around and grab one, and you'll be all right. But let me give you these real quick. Number one, the first important ingredient, the first perfect God ingredient that He wants us to have in our blended families, and this is huge, is number one, is patience. Whew, patience. Now see, patience can sort of seem like a no-brainer. You know, we hear that word, of course, you got to have patience. So what I want to do is I want to get specific with this because, see, here's the thing. Without patience, the blended family will go from well-blended to well-divided. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a woman with two children marries a man with one child. Okay, picturing that. Should I pull some people up and illustrate here? Let's say a woman with two children marries a man with one child. The couple gets married. Everything seems fine. Everything's going okay. But there's only one problem. The man doesn't feel like his wife's children love him and see him and accept him the way that he thinks they should. I mean, he gets like this great love, and he gets this acceptance from his wife. He gets this love, he gets this acceptance from his own child, but his stepchildren just don't express love and acceptance how he wishes they would. And you know what? That is a tough situation. And I think that for some reason, a lot of us forget about some very basic fundamentals of love. I mean, for example, think about this. When it's your own child, love and acceptance was pretty much automatic. I mean, your kids, they're born, they have a love for you as their parent, and they don't know any better than to love you. Until they get older, then they act like they don't love you sometimes, but they still love you. But I mean, there isn't this waiting period. I mean, the child was born, they turned a year old, they turned 2 years old, and that love was there just from the very beginning. But it's not the same with blended families. It's different. See, here's the deal with a blended family. Step-parents do not have that same blood bond as the biological parents. I mean, sure, they have the title parent, and they have this responsibility that parents carry, but love between a stepchild and a step-parent takes a lot of time to grow and to develop. It takes time. Some longer than others. It takes time. It takes trust. It takes a lot of communication. It takes a huge amount of patience. This last week, I sent an email out to some friends who all come from blended family backgrounds. And I posed this question to them. I asked them, I said, what do you think are the essential ingredients for a well-blended family? And one of them wrote something back that I just have to read to you because it's so powerful. She wrote this. She said, it takes time to show someone you want to invest in them and spend time loving them. She said, people, especially children and stepchildren, are not always quick to trust love from someone who is new to their life and family circle. She goes on to write this, it takes a lot of time to establish a relationship that is normally developed from the first day a child is born. So step-parents have to be confident and patient with the kids. And with themselves and with their spouse. Because when parenting styles are combined, it takes time to take his and to take hers and find ours. In the areas of love, discipline, reward, privileges, etc. And then she writes this is really good. She said, it takes time to learn how to love someone the way they accept love. That sounds familiar. We talked about that recently. She said, to show them you're committed for unselfish reasons to loving them and offering them the best you've got. That is some really good advice. That's some good word right there. What a true statement. It takes time. Man, it takes time. It takes lots and lots of patience. There's a quote by a guy named John Maxwell that I love, and I've been using this quote for a long time, and I've really found this to be true in my own life. And the quote is this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Think about that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that you know, that applies to any situation in life. I think it applies to every person, regardless of if they're in a blended family or not. I mean, you can think about it. You can talk and talk and you can yap and yap. But until that person believes that you care about them, all of that talking and all of that yakety yak won't mean jack. It just won't. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Step-parents, do your stepchildren know and believe that you care about them? But see, patience isn't easy. And patience isn't easy, is it? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, for anybody. And I think that what happens to so many of us is we develop this perception or this picture in our minds of what we want our family to look like. And the problem is we want it like right now. We want it yesterday. You know, forget the crock pot. We want instant. We want like 30 second. We want microwave results. And so we're not patient. But it takes time. And especially in a blended family, man, it takes time. Say that with me. It takes time. And here's something that might help you if you find yourself in this situation. The next time that you find it difficult to be patient in your blended family situation or in any situation, the next time you have a hard time being patient, just stop for a moment. Hit the pause button and think about how patient God has been with you and with me. I'm telling you, God has been patient with you. God has been patient with me. The fact that you're sitting here and you are not a crispy critter right now says that God has been patient with you. At the end of Romans chapter 15, Paul, he's closing out this portion of his letter to this church in Rome. And he says these words that are really powerful. I want you to look at this. Romans 15:5. It says, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other." May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other. Look, not only does God constantly look upon you and pour out upon you His patience and have patience with you, but He also gives you patience for things in your life. He gives us patience. This isn't something you have to try to muster up on your own. You can ask God to give you patience, and God, He will work with you, and He will give you the grace. And of course, it's not like you don't have to work at all, because you do have to have some self-control. But God gives you the grace to be able to trust Him and function with His patience. So the next time you're struggling with patience, you know what? Just remember, God is really patient with me. And the best thing you could do in that moment is just stop and say, "God, you know what? Help me to be patient the way that you are patient with me." Okay, here's another ingredient. Okay, another ingredient that's important is sensitivity. Man, if you're going to have a well-blended family, there's got to be some sensitivity going on. Husbands, wives, okay, look, in a blended family situation, once you've heard these words, okay, "I now pronounce you husband and wife, and you are now involved in that blended family," don't miss this one, okay? Be sensitive to the styles of the children. Be sensitive to their styles. And now I'm talking specifically now about children in the blended family, the style of the child. Now, you may not believe this, and I heard this one time, and I remember the first time I heard it, I said, "There's no way that's true." But as I've gotten older and I've worked with a lot of people who've been in this situation, I realize now that, and I believe this, that it is actually more difficult and taxing on children when remarriage occurs rather than divorce. I mean, they're going to go through more trauma at the remarriage point than during the divorce. And you might say, I mean, seriously, Scott, that doesn't make sense. But think about this. Look, Look, when you get remarried, it permanently cuts off the possibility of you and that other person ever getting back together again. And think about what that does to your child who wants nothing more than for you and her or you and him to get back together. It's also difficult, I think, because they also have to accept all of a sudden this new family unit. I mean, all of a sudden there's like this new authority structure, and all of a sudden their space is invaded. And that's why, and I'll never forget hearing this from someone one time. They said, you know what, if you were going to have a healthy, blended family, everyone needs to have their own space. Everyone needs to have their own territory. Because look, in the blended family, suddenly you have all these, you have like these aliens that are after you, and they're like taking up your space. They're using your bathroom. They're using, you know, they don't put the lid down, you know, and they do all this stuff, and they just make a mess. So parents, be sure that your children have space. Even if it's a little corner, even if it's a little area, make sure they have their space. Look, do you know, and this is serious stuff, because do you know the number one reason why the divorce rate is higher the second time around? It's because generally of child rearing challenges. I mean, statistics show that. So I encourage you to take your children, take your and your new spouse's children, and get to know them. Spend some time, invest in them, become sensitive to their styles. You know, watch them mesh, watch how they react. Learn from your spouse about their children. Ask questions. And spouses, tell your new husband or your new wife about your kids. There can be a lot of misunderstandings avoided if you would just take the time to tell your mate about your kids and their personality. So, you know, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, it was so funny. It's so tempting. It's so tempting to get so involved, I think, as a newly married couple in a blended family, that you become so focused on each other that you forget what the kids are going through. Maybe, I think it was 3 days ago, 4 days ago, I was driving home from the church here, and I was sitting at some intersection. I don't remember where I was at, but I pull up, and all of a sudden, next to me, I hear this. I mean, it was one of those, like, subwoofers that, like, this thing belonged in the concert hall. It's in this dude's trunk. And I mean, it's like all of a sudden your car, you're in your car, you're like doing this and you're not even trying to do it. You're just like, ooh, okay, my, you know, you're like windshield wipers start going, you know, and you know, it's just like, and all of a sudden it was so funny because I got my windows down and he's got his window down and there's all these cars around. All of a sudden he just like whips out in this rap. I mean, as loud as you can even imagine. He's like, he just goes to town. He just starts rapping and singing as loud as he could, like he was the only one in the world. And like, I'm trying not to laugh, okay? I'm just like, you know, I'm like trying to turn mine up, but mine's not going to match his, you know? And finally, I look behind me, and the guy's like sticking his head out the window going, and I just lose it. You know, I start laughing. But you know what I was thinking? Parents, I think a lot of times, In our parenting, in these kind of situations, we're a lot like that. I mean, here are the parents. Okay, they've got this blended family thing going on, and the love is new, and there's all this stuff going on that's great, and they're so focused on their music that they forget about their kids. And they forget what is happening emotionally in the lives of their kids. And so then their kids go around saying, man, you know what? This whole blended family thing stinks. It's ridiculous. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. It's a negative thing. Look, it's not just you, Mom. And it's not just you, Dad. It's not just Mom and Dad. Man, it's everyone involved that is affected. So I encourage you to be sensitive to the styles of the children. Here's another one. Very important. Okay, number three is unity. Everyone say unity. Unity. Parents, look. If you're going to have a well-blended family, you and your spouse have got to get on the same page. Man, you've got to get on the same page with each other. You've got to become partners. And if you're going to be successful partners, you've got to have unity. It doesn't mean you're always going to agree on everything, but you need to have a united front in front of that family. Because here's what tends to happen. Okay, you say this. Okay, this is going to go great. You know, I agree with my spouse. You know, I mean, we're going to be partners in discipline and in responsibilities and in rules. And then one day, You see your biological child. All of a sudden you find yourself comparing him or her with the stepchildren. The next thing you know, you begin to get sensitive towards yours. And you start doing your own thing with yours and something different towards it. And of course, that's human nature. I think it's an easy thing to do. So I think the best thing you can do, in fact, yesterday I was sitting down with a couple who is getting married in a couple weeks, and you talk about blended family, man, there's a bunch of kids involved, and one of the things that I really encouraged them to do was to sit down right now before they get married and really think about some boundaries and really think about how they're going to make some decisions in this marriage. It doesn't mean you don't adjust, it doesn't mean that you try something different, but at least have some kind of plan so that you can be on the same page with each other in this newly blended family. I think it's a wise thing to do. You've got to set those principles forth. You've got to put them down. You've got to direct together. You've got to parent together. And also, let me say this, you've got to work with your ex-spouse in the other household to have some common rules as well. So don't cut off the communication there, I mean, unless you absolutely have to. And parents, let me just say this, please don't forget about the need that your child has to be a vital member of both households. I mean, it's not easy stuff. It's not, and I can only imagine, but I'm just going to say that if you will do these types of things, they will help the situation immensely. Okay, one more. Let me give you number four is respect. Everyone say respect. Man, it's huge. And I think when you've got a blended family, there's a couple things that need to be respected. One is routines. We need to respect the routines of life. And even as you establish your own routines, make sure that you also respect the routines of the other family members, especially be sensitive during the holiday shuffle. Yeah, you know the holiday shuffle, that's a tough thing. I mean, you know, the kids flying over to mom's or going over here with dad for a week here, a week there. Man, that's tough. I can't tell you how many of my friends growing up were doing that kind of thing, and it was tough on them. I mean, they really didn't have any other choice, but it was stressful to them. And those are the kids that now they're parenting, and they're going, man, I hate the holidays. All my life, the holidays are just stressful. It was just a mess. Don't you think, though, that in a blended family, there might be ways to minimize that? So I think we need to be sensitive. We need to respect that. And also, parents, can I just say this? And this might get me, you might throw something at me, but a little extra credit here, okay? Do as much as you can to enhance your child's relationship with your ex-spouse. Look, if you have a problem with your ex-spouse, which you probably do because you got divorced, don't pull your kid aside and be like, well, your dad, he's just a jerk. I mean, that's why we got a divorce. Anyway, look, if you have a problem with your ex-spouse, if he's being a jerk, pick up the phone and call him and tell him yourself that he's being a jerk. Don't use your children. And one of the things that I found to be true in my own life, and I know, look, it's hard. I mean, I've never been divorced. I've never dealt with any of that, and never will. But I can only imagine that it's tough when you've got an ex-spouse who's saying things about your character, who's saying things about your integrity. But one of the things that I'm learning in life is that you don't have to defend integrity. I mean, if your ex is saying something about you that isn't true, rather than stoop down to their level and attack them and waste a bunch of time trying to defend yourself, let go of it and trust God to defend your integrity. Because I believe that in the end, when it's all said and done, your integrity and your character will shine to your children. Let God be your defense. The battle that you face, this is not a flesh and blood battle. If you try to deal with it that way, man, it's useless. Maintain your integrity. No matter how hard it is, don't badmouth. Don't say things you shouldn't say. And because when you do the right thing, God can get involved and help you. When you do the wrong thing, and we do this all the time in our lives, we make the wrong choice and then we go to God. So God, now I really need your help in this situation. And God's going, how do you expect me to help you when you just set the tone? I mean, you just went totally the wrong way. So do it God's way. Now, let me just take a side journey. And I would just like to talk to those of you who are kids and maybe you've come out of a blended family or right now you're in a blended family. And let me just say this. Kids, one thing you have to do You've got to understand that even though you don't have both biological parents living together, you have got to understand that you still have to accept that authority base. You have to accept and you have to learn to respect that authority base. Now, having said that, please do yourself perhaps the biggest favor of your life and stop blaming yourself for your parents' breakup. Their divorce. Man, I can't tell you how often I hear kids blaming themselves for their parents' divorce. Man, don't play that blame game because it will mess you up. I talked to a teenager a while back and they came to me and they said, Scott, you know what? I know that if I would have just behaved better, my parents would have never gotten a divorce. And I, you know, it's like if I could have just brought them together, if I could have just brought mom and dad together, this wouldn't have happened. I feel so bad they got a divorce. I know I could have kept it from happening. No, it's not true. It's not true. It is not your fault. It is their fault. They are the adults. It is between them. It's not your fault. So don't play the blame game. Number two, can I just say this? Kids refuse to be used. And I'm talking about relational espionage. Okay? Some parents, they send the kid off. The kid comes back. Did daddy have a girlfriend? Did mom get a job yet? What kind of car is your dad driving now? Did he get a new job? Because that child support needs to go up. Don't take part in relational espionage. The adults should be talking to each other. And parents, please don't put your kids in this position. It's not fair to do that. And everyone said. And finally, the last thing, and kids, I know this has got to be hard. Rather than fight and be against it, at some point you need to learn to accept your parents' choice. I mean, it's not going to give you any points. It's not going to make it any easier for you to disrespect your parents' new mate. So I encourage you to respect and to accept. Now, I want to close today by having a moment of special prayer for those of you who are in a blended family situation. I sat in my office yesterday with this couple, and for about an hour and a half we talked about the challenges and things they've learned as a family and blended family. And I got to tell you, as I sat and as I listened to them talk, I can't tell you, and I think I realized that the best thing I could do for them is pray for God's wisdom. I mean, we need God's wisdom in life, period. But when you're in a blended family situation and there's motives that are questioned and there's things like that, man, you really need to see a perspective that you don't see just with your human eyes. And so I think we have to pray for God's wisdom. And I mean, I was thinking, I mean, look, if there's ever a season in your life, this couple, if there's ever a season in their life that they need wisdom, man, it's right now. Holy smokes. And they're going into a rough time, challenging time, I should say. And I thought of this scripture in James chapter 1. I want to read it to you. I want to close with this. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says this: if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him and He will gladly tell you. Doesn't that sound so easy? Man, we complicate that. It says He will not resent you asking. Look at this, verse 6. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Listen to this. People like that, it says, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Man, that's tough. That's harsh. We like the beginning part, and then we read that part and go, dang. Verse 8, they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. I just love this scripture because it makes it so simple. If you need wisdom, how many of you need wisdom in your life right now? Maybe you're not a blended family, but you just need wisdom from God in your life. God wants to give you that wisdom, and all you have to do is ask Him. But the key is when you ask Him, believe that He's going to give it to you. Don't ask Him, God, I need your wisdom. Oh, I need your wisdom. And then we walk out and go, man, I don't have any wisdom. No, you know what? Walk out and say, God, you know, I may not feel it yet, and it may not seem like I do, but I know I've asked you. And I know, God, that you're always You're always good on your word. And so I want to pray for those of you, and I'd like to ask if you would just stand up with me this morning, and I want to invite you to join with me in prayer this morning. And as we pray, let me just say this. If you're in a blended family situation, or you know someone who is, I want us to pray and specifically ask God for wisdom in your life and wisdom in those people's lives, maybe who you know, your friends or family. And as we ask, I want us to really believe this scripture. I want us to really believe that God hears our prayers and He's interested in answering and responding to us. So let's bow our heads this morning. God, this morning, we join our hearts in prayer for all of the households represented here in this church community, here in this room today. God, we are so glad that we can come to You anytime, anywhere, just as we are. And we can know that You hear us. God, this morning we pray specifically for those here in our church family who are in a blended family situation. And God, we do what You've asked us to do in James chapter 1, and we ask You for wisdom for these parents and these families right now. And God, I pray that when it comes to decision making or how to handle certain situations, God, that they would look to You for wisdom, that they would look to You for guidance and direction. And I pray, God, for creative solutions. I pray for godly insight. God, we just say thank You for hearing our prayers today. And we thank You for these beautifully blended families here today. We pray for Your blessing. We pray for Your unity to be upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Don't forget, next Sunday is our last Sunday, and we're going to talk about sex. Next Sunday. We'll see you then.